Speaking of reliability, friends talking about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
And this is Fred Schenkelberg. And thanks for joining us. We know that we've done over 300 episodes. And some people we've heard have stayed with us through all 300 episodes. So good on you. And thanks for listening and participating with this conversation. If this is the first time joining us, welcome. And we hope you enjoy it. The intent is that it's good friends talking about reliability, and we hope that we can count you in on that conversation. And one way to do that is to go to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR, where there's a forums and ways to get in touch with us so that you can provide your input and comments and thoughts to these conversations. And we sincerely look forward to hearing from you. So, Carl, one of the things that, you know, you and I have been talking on this show and in person, and we're working on a book, we should plug that every now and then, I suppose, I think when we first met and said, hey, we need to talk a little bit, I think you said, you know, we have had different careers and paths, yet we have a very similar philosophy of reliability engineering or approach to reliability engineering. And do you remember that conversation?
I do remember it. It was at, I think it was at an ASQ Reliability Division dinner at RAMS.
That's right, at RAMS. And I know that we had crossed paths occasionally and probably seen each other's names. And yet it struck me as being very, very true is that even though I came out of the electronics industry, essentially, and you were out of the automotive industry, we had a very similar view of how to get stuff done to create reliable products. And and just before we got started today, you illustrated succinctly three principles. And I was like, I haven't heard it that way. I know exactly what you're talking about. But let's do a short series on those three principles. And if you could summarize them real quick, and then we'll dive into one of them.
Sounds great. Yeah. I always start off any reliability teaching or even consulting with these three principles. The first one is calculating reliability is important, but achieving reliability is even more important. And we'll talk about that one in this particular SOR episode. The second one is, second and third one are I'll call them musts. Reliability must be designed into products and processes. And the third one is reliability must be integrated with the product development process. And so those three are sort of guideposts for me, have been for years and years. I'm going to say going back into the 1980s. And they've stayed with me as very important fundamentals. And they're fun to talk about.
Yeah, you know, and I mentioned that I probably use different words for these, except for this first one. I looked at the ability to calculate reliability is often, it's confused with doing a parts count prediction and doing a MTBF calculation, essentially. And I remember running into that tool early on in my career and going, what, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't work. But I'll try to divert away from bashing MTBF too much in parts count prediction. There are other ways to calculate it, accelerated testing and physics of failure models and historical data. And I think part of what you're trying to say, and I totally agree, is that you can wrap yourself around the axle and to use a car metaphor for you there, Carl, right? That you're completely absorbed with trying to get this figure and losing sight of actually achieving it, making changes to the product. Calculating reliability or doing an accelerated test or doing an analysis is for naught unless it actually influences the design and does something. And it's important because it's feedback, right? People want to know, are we on track? Are we getting there? What's our progress? But if that progress goes mute, basically, then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly right. The sometimes it's fun to have debates, and I know we've done from time to time we have debates in RAMS and other places, and it'd be interesting to debate which is more important. Because I've seen people make careers around calculating reliability. In fact, some people
there's
I've seen
companies.
Over the years think, yeah. And some people think that the ability to calculate it is the essence of the skill, the value add for reliability.
Right.
And I've learned a long, long time ago that yes, it's a skill, but it's not the most important skill. Let me start with a story. I picked up GM's product reliability group. This is back in 1989, and it was the cars portion of GM. And the group was already formed, and I picked it up because somebody had moved on. And there were 13 reliability engineers at the time, and all they did was calculate reliability. They did nothing else. In fact, most of the calculations were designed around, were more like predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And they were designed to allocate. So they had these models for allocating reliability, and they had, like you said, the parts counts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran around the organization and they handed out little pieces of paper to the designers saying, here's your reliability requirement based on our prediction and allocation models.
Right.
And they thought they were adding value, and they probably were adding some value, but it's not a lot of value.
Right.
And
a little bit of awareness, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And the reliability was not good, in my opinion, in that era.
Well, in customers'
and
opinion, too.
you know? Yes, exactly. And so the question became, what do you do with the 13 people? Do you continue having them calculate or estimate or predict reliability? Or can they go off and actually influence and change and modify or help support design groups to improve reliability? And at that point, I said, okay, let's just swing the pendulum the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want you to go forth and work on FMEAs and work on improving testing and work on a lot of things that did not result immediately in a number.
That's right.
And so there has to be a certain amount of faith in it, and that the numbers will follow. And of course, they do eventually, depending on how long that product development process is.
That
was when I learned the importance of achieving reliability versus calculating it.
Well, I ran into this with, as much as wanting to know, is it good enough yet? If go back to Dr. Hobbs, right? He never calculated reliability. He said, you make
That's right.
it. And Bill and Dave, the Hewlett and Packard, their approach to reliability was build, test, fix. And the same with Dr. Hobbs, Greg Hobbs. You need to create a prototype or a subsystem or a piece of this thing and figure out how it breaks and understand that mechanism. Is that fundamental to your system? And do you have enough margin, or is it novel and new and you need to design it out? But do that over and over again, make it as robust as you can, and you'll be okay in the market. It'll be as good as you can get. Why waste your time doing all this other stuff? Now, I'm not 100% over in that camp either. I think you still need to, especially for some of our systems, you really do need to know what's our risk going to the field, what's our ability. And if you have field data and you're doing an iteration of that, well, the field data is a pretty good estimate of what you're doing now and changing out, attacking key failure mechanisms and designing those out is a solid approach. But in all of those cases, what we're doing is we're focusing on creating a product that meets or beats our customer's expectation. And it really comes to play in startups. I've been working with a number of different smaller companies lately, and they don't have the time to go do a whole suite of environmental tests and accelerated tests. And I always start and break the ice by going, oh yeah, I'm a reliability guy. I need 300 samples so I can do accelerated testing for 2 years.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, right. You know, we might get one working for a while. Let's make sure it works for a month as our first milestone. And then let's learn from that and then improve and go and go and go. And it fits in with the culture better when you're actually on the team trying to help them create a working product, and it just happens to be working over time is what we focus on. And that's great.
Let me go off on a sidetrack for just a minute now, because the build test fix is a very valid product development initiative, mm-hmm. as long as the build is fast.
That's right.
And in other words, if you have a fast turnaround, what we don't want, I want to highlight the difference, is the long test and fix treadmill where you design the product and then you end up with this test and fix as part of your validation process that extends the product development time. And I don't think that's what you were referring to
when you talked
about build, test, and fix.
No.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. No, it's a... You must have like a hailstorm going on down there or something.
We do. We're in the RV and it's raining quite hard. And of course, on the surface of an RV's, you know, ceilings, you can definitely hear it.
All right. So, yeah, we should mention that.
So a little bit of background noise.
Yeah, I don't know how much Diane would be able to clean up on that, but just in case it gets through, we better explain where you are. You're not in the hurricane at the moment, but... it might as well be in Houston.
Yes. So the reason why this is an important topic is because what we don't want to do as reliability engineers is spend almost all of our time calculating numbers and almost all of our time predicting reliability. Time is really a resource, and you have a certain amount of time to put into reliability engineering and management. And there needs to be a balance between, I think the focus first and foremost is on achieving reliability. Mm-hmm. And then you want to verify that you've met requirements in some way.
That's right.
But the achievement has got to be the highest priority.
The hard part is that
even if you don't know exactly what it is.
That's right. That's what I was going to say, is there's a risk in not knowing. Right. Somebody's going to say, look, we've got a 2-year warranty on this thing or whatever the duration is. And well, how many are we going to expect to fail? And that puts us back into calculating reliability. Yet I think what this principle is about, though, is where the focus is where our primary mission is, essentially, or purpose is as a reliability professional, is more about highlighting risk and looking for those opportunities to make the product more robust, to not miss the forest for the trees. I'm full of metaphors this morning. Maybe I should try a different coffee.
Yes, you are.
Right. But it's the idea is that, yeah, you can get really, really good at one particular tool. There's people that do nothing but FMEAs. And again, if it's not actually influencing the product, if it's not actually making a difference to the outcome, I'm thinking of the Joint Strike Fighter military aircraft project for all intent and purposes, a complete disaster, in my opinion. I remember years and years ago, one of my students was working on that program, and was their primary function was just to do the FMEA and work through the FMEA stuff. Now, you and I know, Carl, that doing it by yourself and is really not
a good idea.
Not a good idea. And they were doing it on a component level up. And this is for a loose assembly of thousands of parts flying through the air. And I'm like, I don't really think that's going to be terribly useful. And I remember altering my class to focus on, now, what is it you're really trying to do here? Right? You need to add value. And one of the primary ways we add value is that the product works, that it It minimizes downtime or warranty. It improves brand acceptance. It customer satisfaction goes up. All of those measures are huge chunks of why people care about reliability. And if we focus on those kinds of things and influencing those measures, we're achieving reliability. It's just because you knocked off an FMEA this week is, you know, I don't care. So,
or just because you did a reliability estimate or prediction,
right,
is the same kind of thing. In an earlier podcast, Fred, we talked about I characterize what I call the reliability equation, where R equals a function of, and now you put in the design parameters such as material composition, geometry, all the different potential parameters, and reliability engineers can work on either side of the equation. Mm-hmm. And the best way is to work on that right side of the equation. That's where you're achieving reliability. And then pick it up and make sure you can do some calculations and make sure that you've achieved it by proper methodology. That like I said, that can be important, but working on the right side of the equation is even more important.
Yeah, it's so very true. And you know that equation, I believe that's in our opening chapter, first two chapters of the book we're working on.
It is.
Which I really do need to work on more. I'm way behind in my part of that. But we should, you know, let's plug that, and then we'll wrap this one up and head on to the other couple of principles. But if you're interested in the draft book we have, which really is Carl and I spending a whole lot of time agreeing with each other and then trying to figure out how to write it down, is a book on reliability engineering management, REM. And you can find it at ascendoreliability.com/go/REM. And if you become a member of Ascendo Reliability, which is free, you have access to the chapters that we've got posted so far. And like all the others that have taken a look at it before, we encourage you to leave us your notes and comments and suggestions to improve the book. And so we'd really appreciate your input on that. So, you know, Carl, these three principles, I think to even make it better is you got to come up with really cool acronyms or names for them so that we can make t-shirts or something like that. I think that's going to be
good.
Key for marketing. Buttons, yeah. You know, like the MTBF
baseball
thing.
Baseball hats.
Yeah, you know, I got campaign buttons for the no MTBF thing, and that made it, I think. That made it successful. Just kick.
I'll go to work on that.
All right. So anyway, achieve reliability is the focus and where we want to go. And it really is the first principle is that's what we're here for. That's what we do. That's what we're about. And it's, I think, well said, Carl. So with that, let's wrap this one up. And then, I should also mention one last time, if you want to join us in the conversation, if you have an idea of how or comments on how important the focus on achieving reliability and not just calculating it is, and what's the right other principles, what do you think our other ones are, or others that we're missing maybe, head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR, and we'd love to hear your input and comments on the discussion. So with that, Carl, it sounds like the rain's abating a little bit, so your RV is not floating down a river right now, is it?
That's right. Well, good conversation, Fred. Thanks a lot.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Carl.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.